Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
All righty. Third hour, Tiki and Tierney. Coming here from the Tiki and Tierney Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Millions of Americans finance the home of their dreams with their help. They can help you as well. Rocket Mortgage, push button. Get mortgage, good stuff so far, bouncing around a little bit. Big win by Seattle. Obviously, we started with that Monday Night Football as the lone undefeated remaining team goes down. So the Niners lose a tough one. Obviously, Russell Wilson and company, a big-time threat. They're up there. They're still into their winning ways. We had Tom Izzo before. So if you miss Coach Izzo, if you're a fan of the Big Ten, you want to maybe listen to it again or send it to one of your buddies, radio.com, CBSSportsRadio.com. Lots of ways to find our podcast, Apple iTunes, download for free, set yourself up.
Yeah.
Never miss a beat with Tiki and Tierney.
Yeah, you know, just real quickly on the Izzo interview, BT, he said, so Joshua Langford is one of their upperclassmen who was supposed to be a big contributor. He has a lower leg foot injury or something that should keep him out. Media reports saying he's going to be out till January. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you caught it, but Izzo said he might miss the whole year.
He's not missing a whole year.
I don't think so either, but that was...
I mean, I based that on nothing.
I just kind of heard it. We're getting to the end of the interview, so I couldn't really respond to it, but I thought it was interesting that he said that that could derail some of their better laid plans. Look, they're still going to be a good team because they're tough and they have good players, a veteran leader in Cassius Winston, as we were alluding to and talking about, obviously feeling sorrow for his loss with his brother Zachary, but... He's going to rebound and to be have a great season as always. But you lose a staple that you were counting on. Mm-hmm. And it might be for the year. Michigan State might have some troubles against some of the better teams.
Fair, I know we're going to get into the NBA here, but the one thing about that Kentucky game, because you can't really extrapolate anything for the second game, they won by 60. They're supposed to 60-ish. Was that Cassius Winston shot 1 of 7, one of 8 from downtown, and that's obviously not going to happen too often. So. Different circumstances, but, there was a lot of energy. Mateen Cleaves, who, wound up making the NBA for a minute, the Pistons bounced around a little bit, but he was like certainly an overachiever in college, I think, based on his talent and what he wound up accomplishing, winning a championship back in, I guess that would have been 2000. But he... maybe this Cassius Winston situation becomes a team galvanizer.
Yeah. You asked the question... earlier with Izzo, like, what do you say to him? His answer was telling. This is what he said about Cassius Winston, who's a great, great leader for this team.
You don't say much, you listen and you try to help, you can play that one good game on adrenaline, and then all of a sudden the reality sets in, and the next couple of weeks there'll be some highs and lows, and so we're just going to be there for him. We're going to do our job. I told him I'm going to have to push you as a player and hug you as a son, and that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah, that's a great line there.
Push you as a player, hug you as a son, and that's what makes Coach Izzo the greatest. That's why we love him. That's why we always want to talk to him whenever we can.
Mm-hmm. All right, Teague, so let's get to this. There's a little shifting template in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
You came across a piece this morning.
Yeah.
Caught your eye. You wanted to get into it. Let's go.
It was interesting because this is happening. We know that back when LeBron James decided to leave the Cleveland Cavaliers and go seek championships in Miami, and we're going to win 1 and 2 and 3 and 4. We all remember that clip forever, eternity. They won a couple. But it was the beginning of the Big Three era, right? We're going to get two.
Well, the non-organic Big Three era.
Yes, the non-organic.
There's Bird, McHale, Parrish, Worthy, Magic, Jabbar. Okay.
The non-organic.
Gotcha.
Let's
Frazier, Monroe,
hey,
the
buddy. Guy that I know really well. What are you doing in free agency? I don't know. I don't know either. Let's get together and go win some championships.
Yep.
It was the beginning of that era of superstardom in the NBA. And it worked, and it was interesting, and it created dominance and legacies that were compelling, and we'll talk about them for a long time. But it lasted about a decade, and then it aged out. And Kevin Durant, after opting to go be part of his own big three with the Golden State Warriors, one, tearing his Achilles and not fulfilling the three-peat, but also deciding at the end of his contract, because he signed these short-term contracts, to go join the Nets, left the Golden State Warriors and really all of the NBA without a big three. They're just not anymore. And I think it's a great thing for the league because it creates the parity that we always talked about. It creates opportunities in smaller markets like the LA. Not that the Clippers are a smaller market, but relative to the Lakers, they're a smaller a base team. It creates an opportunity for teams like the Clippers to make a stand. It creates teams an opportunity for the Houston Rockets, who have their own two, to potentially jump over that plateau that they could never get over because they couldn't get past the Warriors. And so now it's all about the big two as opposed to the big three, and I think that's great for the NBA. The other thing, though, that was in this article, and I wish I could find it. I can't even find it, but luckily I remember most of what it said. It talked about how when Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook were together previously in Oklahoma City, they were on the court together all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like 90% of the minutes they were on the court at the same time. We're going to have our best players play together and, run up, hopefully a big lead. And obviously they have to rest. At some point, you go to the bench and you're just like, dude, just hang on.
Generally, there was a full bore second unit.
Yes.
Well, five guys.
A full five guys four. That would come in and take over. But now the NBA is evolving probably because of the new era of star, right? It's hard for stars to play second fiddle in a lot of places. And I think this typifies it. The most perfect example of this is the Houston Rockets, also with Russell Westbrook and James Harden. Together, they are not good because they don't play defense. Russell Westbrook plays none at all, and James Harden sometimes gives you the effort. Now, how they're combating this is very smart and it's intelligent. They're playing 65% of their time together as opposed to 90% of their time together. And so James Harden, when he's on the court, he can go score 37 like he did the other night and be himself and not feel, not feel compelled to get the other star involved. And then he sits down, Russell Westbrook comes in, he does his thing, he's in control. They're playing obviously much faster above the rim, this exciting style of basketball, but it allows each of those guys to be individual while still being a part of the same team.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's smart because basketball has evolved into, other than Golden State Warriors, it's still a lot of ISO. And if you have two stars, let them be ISO players. If they play well together, let them play together. But I think this allows basketball to get back to its strengths of its individuals, but also not tax your bench too much. I think it's just interesting how it's evolved from where we were for a decade till now. All these teams have two stars that they're not going to play well together.
Here's my first reaction. I wrote this down so I won't forget. One thought is on the shifting of the three-star team. I'll get back to that because I want to challenge it on that. The one thing that's going to be interesting is you're going to have to shift these dynamics from 90-ish percent jointly to now 65, 70-ish percent together when you get to the playoffs. Because if you don't, that means your stars are playing fewer minutes when historically they got to play bigger minutes.
True.
So you're going to deviate in the second season what you're doing during the regular season, and that can cause confusion.
That it can, but that's the challenge. This is why this season is so interesting because it was previously we knew who was going to win, right? We knew that the big three, whoever had the big three, they were going to win or at least be in the finals. Right? How many times did we see the Cleveland Cavaliers with their big three, with Kevin Love and Kyrie, and obviously LeBron versus the Golden State Warriors and their big three? You saw it every year. It was foregone in a sense.
But the East was that circumstantial though? I mean, the East was
maybe
just bad.
Maybe, but
you know, the draft picks they had, they didn't pop as much. A lot of the stars, the young stars, were in the West.
True,
I mean,
but it was what it was.
It was
a big three. It was a big three versus a big three.
Yep,
and that's no longer the case. And when you had this ability to just bury your head and go dominate with Kyrie and LeBron on the court at the same time, Kevin Love is obviously an accent piece for spacing. That's how they would win. And you didn't worry about you know, the bench. Mm-hmm. Now I think coaches are getting smart about distribution of minutes and whether or not it benefits their players to be empowered independent of the other superstar on the team. It's just a different psychology that's going into the NBA.
And a different deployment of talents. All right, let me challenge this in this regard. I think I'm going to give you a name that very well might, out of necessity and desperation, maybe revert back to the big three model.
Go ahead.
Anthony Davis. Here's what I think is happening right now. I think a lot of the superstars that are either still firmly in their prime or slowly exiting their prime,
yep.
LeBron, Curry, those players, Kyrie's still obviously in his prime, KD, they've got their championship. So now they can go and pursue full-throttle happiness. Happiness. Mm-hmm. Kyrie, I'm from Jersey. I was a Nets fan growing up. I'm going to play for Brooklyn. KD's my boy. He's coming with me. We don't need a third. We're happy. Yeah. All right? I think somebody
And we
like,
already have a championship,
exactly.
to your point.
So the urgency is different because the criticism is gone. If Anthony Davis and the Lakers don't win a championship this year, and in his mind, he deems LeBron a little too old, a little too physically attritioned, if you will, he might have to go out and try to pursue a big three of his own to get his championship because he's next on the radar.
Yeah.
If he doesn't get it soon, he's going to get crushed. It is what it is.
Yeah, but
I'm not saying it's even right, but that's the way the criticisms go.
You
got to win.
And he's the case, right? He's the one that we're looking
at. But there's somebody behind him. You know,
of course,
in 5 years, if Jason Tatum doesn't have a title,
yeah.
I mean, I'm just throwing names out.
Yeah, Joel Embiid will be the same way.
Embiid
maybe,
as well.
If he doesn't
Luka
get
Doncic.
One.
If Luka Doncic, who, by the way, is sick.
Yeah.
If Doncic doesn't have a championship in 3, 4, 5 years, does he get the itch to go align himself with somebody? I didn't read the article, but philosophically, I don't believe the big three is gone. I think it's on a temporary respite based on the circumstances.
Yeah, but who's going? I'm trying to think of the personalities because I think it takes a certain personality to be able to create and exist in a big three, right? Either
because somebody's got to defer more than somebody
that's
else.
That's right. So either you have this like super strong-willed star like LeBron who is joining a Dwayne Wade, who, by the way, already has a championship and is cool.
Which freed him up to acquiesce
a little bit. Which was cool. All right, come on, dude.
Exactly.
Great. Be great.
Plus, they're best friends. I mean, that
exactly.
helps, too.
And then you go get, you know, Chris Bosh as well, who, you know, was up in Toronto.
Yeah.
And he wanted to eat, too. Kind of out of the radar. And of course, I want to come join this, right? Like, the circumstances work. Same thing in Golden State because of the system that they ran.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't about one guy being a star. Was like, dude, it doesn't matter if you're the best or the third best or the fourth best. We're sharing the rock, right?
And if you're hot, you're getting
exactly.
it. Exactly. Livingston, if this is your
balls,
night,
the ball's got to move. Doesn't matter. No matter how great you think you are, you can beat somebody off the dribble, make a shot. If that's the wrong shot, pass it.
That's true.
Right? And they all bought into it. And so their circumstances were different than LeBron James' circumstances. And so it worked. And KD had that ability to go anywhere just because of the free agency. It made sense. I don't know if it's going to make sense.
But you know why he went there. Part of the freedom and the ability to operate with the self, the superstar, the things you detailed. He went there because he needed a shortcut to a championship.
That's right. That's right.
He needed it to get that heaviness off his shoulders and to now proceed with the second half of his career freely.
But here's the thing. LeBron needed a championship. Like, he absolutely needed
no
a championship because he was heading towards being one of the all-time greats.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Durant needs a championship because he was also heading towards being one of the all-time greats.
And some say he now needs it without the crew that he had in Golden State
but he has to further validate it. But he has it.
Which,
right?
I don't believe, but some do.
I agree, but he has it already.
Yeah.
Right?
He's got multiple ones.
The other stars, like, is Joel Embiid going to trend towards being one of the all-time greats?
I don't know if he's healthy. He's going to be damn good.
Well, hear me
as good
out.
As anybody I've seen in 30 years.
Is he going to be deemed so good that he needs to have a championship?
Yes, because you know why? We'll make it be that. We will make his life unfairly, or his career.
Yeah, criticized.
Unfairly, his accomplishments unfairly hollow. Incomplete. Without one. I mean, that's just what we do.
Yeah.
And I kind of hate that we do that, because it does gloss over the process and we marginalize how tough it is just to get to the conference finals the right way without, you know, organically. That's why Damian Lillard, so much respect.
Agreed.
He's staying there,
but he's staying there. With he's happy. And his big two is the only backcourt big two.
Like, exactly. And it's a flawed model. I love McCollum, but it's not.
Yeah, they're not going to win. They're never going to do it. And so, but if one of these big twos, I don't know who it's going to be, whether it's Kawhi and Paul George, whether it's Embiid or Simmons, whether it's Luka or KP, if one of them does it, wins the championship, heck, it could be LeBron and AD with the Lakers. If one of them does this, doesn't that become the new model and become the new thing that other teams are going to copycat?
You mean back to the two?
Yeah, back to the two. Right, so if because it's going to happen, one of these if James Harden and Russell Westbrook find a way splitting minutes, splitting time on the court, and James Harden excels at what he does when he's out there, you know, for his 40% alone, and you know Russell Westbrook excels
Rockets
at what he's
aren't
doing.
Win a championship.
I'm just saying.
I can't waste my time.
But
on
if
the
they
Rockets.
Do, it's just an They're example. Not win. It's just an example. If they do, doesn't it become the model? You know, it's the league copies
itself.
It
becomes the model. No, an option more so than 6-7 years ago.
Yeah.
Yes. I still think again, based on the criticisms, they just grow loud. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, baseball, we can revere somebody, I know it's a million years ago, Ernie Banks, who never played a postseason inning and had 500 bombs, some of which came at first base, but primarily as a shortstop. And we can laud him, and rightfully so, as one of the all-time great baseball players. We don't micro-assess his shortcomings as a champion, because we realize baseball is different. We all know in the NBA, 20% of the come on, and
you're supposed to be able to lead a team. If you're great, you're supposed to be able to lead a team by yourself, or at least with help.
Yes, for sure. So it's an interesting article. It's an interesting thought. I don't disagree. Times are changing a little bit. I can't marry myself to the idea that they're fully changed yet. Not yet, but that was a good conversation. I like that. Coming up. All right. So let me get this right. So he's still coaching for now. They basically told him the other night he's gone without saying you're fired. The clown show at the Garden is now actually going through resumes and looking for their new coach. Yet, for all the dopiness that they do, and it's dopey every year, they might actually stumble on the name they should have stumbled on in the first place. We'll talk about who they are targeting next on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way to save money. Just switch to Geico. Go to geico.com and in 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. So I got a memo today. Somebody sent me a text message with a graphic attached to it, all right? The ranking the teams by winning percentage since the start of this century in the NBA, right?
Okay.
Spurs, Dallas, Rockets, Miami, Lakers, all good. Boston, Oklahoma City, Utah, Pacers, Portland, Denver, Detroit, Golden State, even all those wins, Golden State Warriors still around that mid-teen spot. Phoenix, Toronto, the Cavaliers, the Clippers, Milwaukee, Orlando, the Pelicans, Chicago, Philadelphia, Sacramento, Memphis, this is 20 years, Atlanta, Brooklyn / New Jersey, Minneapolis, Washington, and the Knicks. The Knicks are dead last.
Wow.
The Knicks are dead last. So it should not surprise you that the wheels are spinning and people are trying to save their own behinds, which is what's happening right now with not so much Scott Perry, but Steve Mills. Scott Perry's new. And by the way, to be fair, Scott Perry's actually a good basketball person. Steve Mills is not. Let me play this for you, and then let me tell you what the Knicks are doing behind the scenes here as they align their forces, if you could call it that, to make their next move. This was the other night. Steve Mills, you and I were talking about this before the show, and I went into a rant yesterday on the show here. But off the air, Teague and I were talking today before the show. You know, it is not without precedent where an NFL GM midseason or a month before the season might do a press conference.
Yep.
But not after a game, like during the week. State of the team. Here's what we're thinking, draft philosophy, you know, the coach is safe or we still have to evaluate. Let the fans know what's up. Nobody in sport does what the Knicks pulled the other night, and it was started with this. Steve Mills. Steve Mills, who hasn't accomplished a thing from a basketball point of view, a 20-year hole pass with the Knicks, said this.
Given that this is our 10th game, we felt we had an obligation to come and speak to you guys. Obviously, Scott and I are not happy with where we are right now. We think the team's not performing to the level that we anticipated or we expected it to perform at, and it's something that we think we collectively have to do a better job of delivering the product on the floor that we said we would do at the start of this season.
All right, listen, I can't recreate what I launched into yesterday. All you have to know is, first of all, go find it on TikiandTierney.com, radio.com, if you want to hear the whole rant. It was pretty strong and it was pretty long. But all you have to know is Steve Mills is there since Larry Brown. That's all you need to know. He's been there since Larry Brown in 2003, all right? Isaiah Thomas, Larry Brown, Jeff Hornacek, Phil Jackson, you name it. I mean, it's been Mike Woodson, Mike D'Antoni. He's been there for everybody, just about. So, Steve Mills is not happy. Steve Mills went out there, and by saying that, he basically just fired David Fizdale. So, of course, it's their job. The media then went to David Fizdale, and they asked the Knicks coach, do you think it was necessary for Mills and Perry to do what they did the other night? Here's what David Fizdale said.
I fully support them. You know, we're in this together, obviously, but I take the brunt of that responsibility because I'm the head coach. I make these decisions of what's going on the court, what players play, who plays together, what plays we call the defensive system. That's on me. And so as much as I appreciate them, you know, I own it.
Listen, you got to respect that. And David Fizdale's a stand-up guy. But when your boss, your owners, your superiors, whomever you answer to, when they say that the effort is not consistent, they may as well literally kick you in the behind and put you in a taxi cab on 7th Avenue.
Yeah.
Because you're no longer their guy.
Yeah.
That's what they just said.
And they didn't need to say this after 10 games, which is why this is...
I don't think you say it after 20. Not the way they said it after a game.
Yeah.
It was just... Oh, go ahead, T.
I'm interested to know what precipitated this.
Probably pressure and petulance from ownership, from James Dolan. James Dolan, who knows nothing about basketball except maybe that it's round and it's orange, maybe. I mean, basically, Dolan probably said, geez, you guys told me we got some good players this summer.
So,
why the hell are we 2-8 and getting blown out by 20 points every night?
I agree, but it's been 20 years. Why does he all of a sudden care right now? Why does he care right now?
Unless, no, he's cared before. He has.
You know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm being facetious. But why does he care right now? And it seems like because they're looking to hire somebody else.
Correct, which leads us to the report, you know, the laying of a foundation for somebody they almost brought in before they elected to bring in David Fizdale. And that is Mark Jackson, who is still without a job.
That's right. Ever since the Golden State Warriors.
Yep.
Where he's the one that turned them around.
There's no doubt about it. It's not even close.
Yeah, I mean Steve Kerr won all the championships and, you know, got all the accolades and the acclaim. But the start of the turnaround was Mark Jackson with his accountability, his defensive principles, all those things that you talk about. He's a good basketball man.
He's a great basketball man.
Other things that have been unsaid for a lot of the time that are keeping him from being a head coach again.
Yeah. Listen, Mark Jackson should be coaching a team based on merit, based on acumen, based on the ability to connect to young players.
True. 17 years in the league, man.
Oh, I mean, the guy's top five, top three in assists. Mm-hmm. I played for a million teams, and, I mean, you know, Mark's my guy from saying I love Mark Jackson. But, again, you have to remember, because when he took them over, they pretty much were the Knicks. Like, the Warriors were the Knicks. I mean, they had a stretch where they were 29-53.
This is Golden State.
This is Golden State. 26-56, 36-46, 23-43. I mean, that's what Mark Jackson inherited. He inherited a floundering franchise. And, you know, why Mark Jackson doesn't have a job, I believe it's two reasons. I believe there was, how do I say this delicately? Well, for the first part, doesn't need to be overly delicate. The first part is that not everybody appreciates his outward delivering of religious messages. Mm-hmm. That's number one. That's fairly common. I think the other part,
that exists in sports. I mean, that's everywhere.
He's really,
I hear you,
really in your face about religion.
I hear you.
And it rubs a lot of people the wrong way. And the other aspect is, you know, there was a thought that there were some homophobic comments. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, and part of the ownership for the Warriors is gay. Yeah. And, you know, based on just the religious principles that Mark Jackson so obviously subscribes to, unflinchingly and unapologetically, that obviously conflicts with homosexuality.
Do you think it would be the
now,
right...
Now, I'm not saying that he said slurs. I'm not saying that.
Yeah.
I'm just, definitely not saying that.
It just feels like that's been...
But there was an undercurrent tracing back to his days with the Warriors, trust me, as people that were around the team, that's why he was gone. Plus, he doesn't get along with everybody. He's got a strong ego.
But should that affect the Knicks' desire to hire him?
I can't answer that because that's not my team. I'd have to ask them the question, you know, is this true? And... See, that's a tough one.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a tough one. Again, Mark Jackson it's important. You have to distinguish between religious beliefs. And again, not everybody agrees with that. Mm-hmm. Clearly, religious beliefs and just vicious, vile slurs. It's the former.
Yeah.
It's not the latter. There's a big difference there. So based on that... you can reconcile hiring him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if it was like a vicious stream of homophobic hate on social media, how do you sell that to your fan base?
And that
when
doesn't
fair
exist.
Percentage
yeah.
are homosexual.
Yeah,
you
that's
can't
not,
do that.
That doesn't exist.
Or have family members who are. So, listen, it's a delicate slope. If I'm the Knicks, I would have hired Mark Jackson then. I would have. Now, and I said this a million times, they hired Fizdale because they thought he was bringing free agents. He did not bring them. They did not come. When you hire somebody and you hear, hey, man, Fizdale, you know, LeBron loves him. D-Wade's got his back. That's great. What did he deliver? Free agency. Marcus Morris.
Yeah, but you can't. It's unfair to tie him to LeBron because there was no way LeBron.
No, I'm not saying that LeBron
was. I agree.
But the juice was believed to have extended. And by the way, it's a flawed premise to hire somebody. If you're hired, not that they hired him solely on that, but that was a big calling card. That was enticing to them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you hire somebody and you're almost marginalizing their coaching and you're really propping up their connections around the league, I don't think that's smart. But then again, it's the Knicks, so it's not surprising. You need a coach. Mark Jackson is he is an accomplished coach and he knows the market. I'm not saying fire Fizdale tonight. It's not fair. I'm not saying fire him next month. It's not fair. But they said they're firing Fizdale without saying it. So could Mark Jackson be the next coach? Yes, he very well might be. And at this point, I believe that he would be. And at this point, I believe Knicks fans would say, I'm very cool with that. You know? All right, 855-212-4227. Tiki and Tierney, they've made a very sloppy situation. And they're really betraying a decent man. Fizdale's a good man and a good basketball person. I think he's a great coach, but he's certainly not a scrub. And he does not deserve that. But that's what they do. All right, Axe update is right now. We'll get the blast after that. Rich Ackerman. Go ahead, Rich. Take it away. All right, time now for the game plan for success here on Tiki and Tierney, sponsored by Napa. Taking a look at a team and their plan for success. We talked about them today. Despite NCAA eligibility issues, Memphis freshman 7-footer James Wiseman will play tonight against 14th-rated Oregon. Now, the Ducks, relatively small up front. Nobody in their regular rotation over 6'9". I mean, Wiseman's going to dominate anybody, but especially a smallish front line, as we said. The Tigers will look to exploit that and use the size advantage in the only matchup of two ranked teams tonight. So certainly got to circle that. Keep an eye on the Ducks and the Tigers. Napa believes every driver deserves quality parts. That's why you can do it yourself at a Napa Auto Parts store or have it done for you at a Napa Auto Care Center. Either way, that is Napa know-how. Tiki and Tierney here, Tuesday, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. We'll get to the blast in a moment. If you guys missed anything, whether it's Coach Izzo, we had Tom on hour number two, our conversation about Wiseman podcast, you know where to get it. If you don't, Apple iTunes, radio.com, cbsportsradio.com, all the places where your podcast, just download, click away for free, and set yourself up with Tiki and Tierney. Get a couple of calls before we get to the blast here, Teek?
Hold on, look, we have a breaking. Is this breaking news with Kaepernick? Did you hear this? Colin Kaepernick is apparently having an open workout that at least three and maybe more teams are going to attend. All teams were invited. Adam Schefter just tweeted this out. I believe it was, and so it's an interesting development. I don't know which teams need a quarterback right now.
Mm-hmm.
But you know that the NFL and Rock Nation had that event at the beginning of the football season. I was in attendance. And one of the topics that kept coming up was Colin Kaepernick and, you know, why he's not in the National Football League. And it ended with this very poignant and succinct point. The NFL would be best served if Cap had a job. And the question was, you know, why? Because so people would stop talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to get a look, finally, to see if Cap is ready and if teams are interested in having him join their team. Because we've seen him post things on social media, or his guy. I don't know if it's actually him.
Mm-hmm.
Throwing the football around. But that's what, I don't know, it's in the field and we have no idea the context of it. So this could be an interesting development for some NFL team should they decide to take a shot on Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah. Here's Schefter's tweet just about 36 minutes ago. NFL clubs were informed today that a private workout will be held for Colin Kaepernick Saturday in Atlanta. Session will include on-field work and an interview. All clubs invited to attend and video of both the workout and interview will be made available to teams. That's one tweet, and then there's another one that says, the NFL arranged this workout opportunity for Kaepernick.
The NFL arranged.
Yep. And teams will have the opportunity to evaluate his readiness and level of interest in resuming his career. His agents have said he wants to return, and the league hopes this provides that chance.
I got to tell you, so one of the big question marks, BT, we don't know if he wants to actually play.
No.
He's spoken, but not in the context of where he wants his career to go. Now, we've heard other people say it, but until you hear it from the horse's mouth, it doesn't feel the same. And so he's going to get a chance to work out. The NFL is arranging for a chance for him to work out. The question is, does he actually still want to play in the National Football
League? Well, I wouldn't think he'd be going through the motions of going in to do a workout
if he didn't want to. Yeah, but it's all about, like, what's your commitment to it? You know,
listen, if he's not spinning it right, I believe he's been throwing a lot.
I do, too.
I know you do.
I do. Absolutely believe that.
And he's always had a big-time arm. You know, played baseball at Nevada, 90-plus miles per hour.
Mm-hmm.
Lean body, so he's not going to be heavy.
Nope.
Really, his big issue was that he couldn't lift for a while because of the shoulder issues. He looked too thin. He just looked
weak. He looked like a basketball player for a while.
Yeah, he did.
He got so lean and skinny.
Yeah. So, you know, his quickness is probably still there. Mm-hmm. He's not going to look like Lamar Jackson, but he's certainly not going to look like Tom Brady trying to run.
He's not that old. What is he, 31?
31, I think.
31 or 32? I think he's 31.
He's 31, but he hasn't gotten popped for a while. So his football body's probably more like 27. You know what? Since this comes up, let's look at a couple of teams. What teams? Now, do you mean for this season?
What I don't know.
All right, well, let's flush through it here.
Yeah.
All right, so.
Because there are some teams that either aren't satisfied with their backup or
I'll tell you one.
Or having serious questions about what's going forward with their starter.
I'll tell you one.
Who?
You want to see what's his name? Why am I forgetting his name now? Who's the guy who played for the Colts this weekend?
Oh, Brian Hoyer.
You want to see Brian Hoyer?
No.
Yeah, exactly.
Not at all.
So if I'm the Colts,
that he's a great backup.
Uh-huh.
Brian Hoyer.
Until he's got to play.
I know. He proved he's a great backup.
Yeah, until he's got to play.
Exactly.
Trubisky's coming off a 3-touchdown performance, but that's been wobbly.
That's right.
We know that. Stafford's banged up. Vikings don't need him. Redskins have Haskins. You got to play him.
Mm-hmm.
Eagles don't need him. Giants don't need him. Cowboys don't need him. Jets don't need him. Patriots don't need him. Although the Patriots is a backup. You never know.
That's what I mean. So a couple of them, Miami could be one.
I was gonna say Miami.
The
not
Colts
Buffalo.
Could be another short-term solution for a starter.
Uh-huh.
But I think there's a lot of teams that would look and say, yeah, could he be a viable backup if our system is right? Arizona as a backup?
Would the Steelers mess around? I mean, are they enthralled with Mason Rudolph? I think he's kind of a pop gun dink and dunker.
Yeah.
I don't love Mason Rudolph.
He's a manager. He can throw the ball down the field. It's just I wouldn't bet on winning a lot of games if he was doing that 60 times a game like Ben Roethlisberger did.
Yeah, I'm just looking at some more teams. The Jaguars paid Foles and Minshew's a bit of a revelation.
Mm-hmm.
Titans, Mariota's going to be gone. Did he sign a one-year deal, Tannehill?
I think he's on a one-year deal.
He's probably a free agent. We'll double-check that. But the Titans could be in the market. You know, I actually said, did I say it on Tops? I said on Tops the other day that if I'm the Falcons, this might be the time to feel a trade call for Matt Ryan.
Hmm.
based on where they are. Now, he also, they just beat the Saints, so it's odd timing. But they have two wins. They're going nowhere. They've got to deconstruct some. They've got a new coach.
You mean in the offseason?
In the offseason.
Trading Matt Ryan.
Offseason, of course. The Panthers, Cam's gone. Kyle's okay. The Saints have Drew and Teddy.
Yeah, but is Kyle your guy, Allen? I don't know.
I mean, certainly worthy of a bit of a competition just in case he, he kind of regresses to his mean.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of teams that could use him either as a challenger to their current starter or as a potential good backup piece. But the problem is he hasn't played in two seasons.
I think it's a little more than that at this point.
I think 17. Half, right? I think he played in 17. 2017 was his last year. So it feels like it's been a long time, but it actually hasn't been that long.
Did he finish the season or did he get hurt?
No, he finished the season. He didn't start the season because he was hurt. And then he finished the season, opted out of his deal, and then has been in limbo for the last two seasons. Now, well, a season and now half of this season. So he hasn't actually been away from the game for that long.
That's true.
And so the rust that you would think is there, it's obviously going to be there, but I mean... This is interesting now.
And it is.
And in some
ways, interesting that the NFL is the one leading the way.
That's right.
Teddy Bridgewater is going to get paid, so he'll be gone. Mm-hmm. Something Sean Payton has. They got Taysom Hill. I'm just running through this here. Jameis Winston could be an ex-Buck. I don't know. The Broncos are a disaster, but they just spent the second-round pick on Lock. Kansas City set. Chargers, let me throw something wacky out there.
Go ahead.
New stadium.
And I don't think it's that wacky, dude.
New stadium. Phillip Rivers getting old. And Phillip Rivers is not playing that well anymore. The Chargers?
I could see it.
Me too.
I could see it. Yeah. At least people are going to go watch this. Even if they don't have any intention of signing Colin Kaepernick, people are going to go watch this workout.
Yeah.
I think the other side of this is from the NFL standpoint. The NFL has to be tired of hearing this narrative.
Here's the one thing
about
themselves. I don't think we're hearing it that much anymore.
No, trust me, it exists.
Like, I don't hear it, though.
You don't hear it, and I don't think I hear it.
But if I don't hear it, I'm in the business. Well, who's hearing it?
It's social media. It's like there's this contingent on social media. Like you listen to, African American radio stations and or sports followers of sport. This is still loud.
I know that it's still alive in certain, for sure.
So
I don't think it's mainstream like it was. It's not mainstream like it was,
but there is an alternate mainstream. What do they call it? Like Black Twitter? Black Twitter is full of this.
Mm-hmm.
Trust me. And so
I believe you.
I think the NFL is consciously, and it's just smart for them to do this, say, we're giving him the opportunity to prove he deserves to be back in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Whether he wants to really play or whether he has the ability to fully play again, we will find out. And we're doing an open workout and we're inviting everybody to come see for yourself.
I want to see. Now, what's probably going to happen, and we'll get some reaction from talent evaluators who are there.
That's right.
What I hope to hear, and I hope it's honest, from somebody who doesn't need a quarterback, but was there just doing their due diligence, I want to know, how did he look? You know what I'm saying?
Like physically.
Is he still NFL viable? Mm-hmm. Like, I want to hear an NFL evaluator, somebody that we know, a little name recognition, a little juice, come out and say, listen, obviously we're set with Mahomes or we're set with whomever, but listen, this guy could still play. Yeah. This guy looked like he can help somebody. And I don't think somebody would take the other position because it wouldn't really benefit them based on the backlash they would get because it would be twisted as a racist.
They'll just say, you're just hating. You don't like Cap, and that's why you're saying this.
It's going to be interesting.
It will be.
Interesting development. All right, we'll see what happens.
There's been a couple of workouts for him. One was the Seattle Seahawks and the Ravens.
But we thought he was going to sign with Seattle.
We did.
The Seattle one was the one where, that makes sense. Yeah. Russell moves around
a little bit. That's right. Sam, they invited him, but they ultimately canceled it. That workout with the Seattle
and the Ravens, but he actually threw for the Ravens.
I think
he
did throw. I think so.
Didn't he throw for the Ravens?
I feel like he did.
I don't think so. I think Bishotti said that. I think he just met there with them.
I think he just met with them.
I don't know if he actually worked out for them.
Yeah, I don't think he actually worked out. I think he actually met with them.
All right, interesting stuff. We'll see.
Yeah,
we shall see. No time for the blast, but that's obviously more important. So this is coming up soon, and it's going to be down in Atlanta. All right, Chargers. Yeah. Of all those teams we ripped through, new stadium. No real fan base. Mm-hmm. You want to get some people in the stadium to get things going in your new stadium? Bring Kaepernick.
I would.
If he could still play, so
if he could still play, why not?
And let's face it. I mean, there's the amount of scrubs in the NFL.
Uh-huh.
Now, for me, I almost feel bad saying that because they're pro players.
But you're not wrong.
Relative scrubs.
But you're not wrong.
I mean, come on.
You're not wrong, BT.
I watched Falk play for the Jets this year. Come on, dude. This dude's a practice player. I mean, come on. All right, we'll see. We shall see. Take good show, buddy. Tomorrow's Wednesday. We start kicking into gear for week 11. Week 11. We'll see Wiseman and Memphis against Oregon tonight. Some NBA as well. Have a great Tuesday. We'll catch you tomorrow. Bye-bye. Peace. Got to go.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.